All right, it's 5:40. I'm really excited for a chance to do this because you don't get a chance every single day to talk to somebody who has built Super Bowl teams, who is a multiple-time NFL Executive of the Year, who is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And on top of all that, I thoroughly enjoyed the book that he co-wrote with another guy that we've had on the show before whose work is outstanding, Vic Carucci. I actually read this while I was in Dallas at the Cotton Bowl, Super Bowl Blueprints, Hall of Famers, revealing the secrets to pro football's greatest dynasties. And obviously, Bill Polian knows a heck of a lot about Super Bowl blueprints because he has built Super Bowl teams. That's why he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Very good book. You can get it pretty much, as we say, anywhere you can get your books. And a pleasure to bring the Hall of Famer onto our show with us this afternoon. Bill, thanks for your time today. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you for having me.
I appreciate you coming on. I'm going to start with this because I know you know the Tobin family really well, and I know you've spoken highly of the work that Duke Tobin has done here in Cincinnati. We talk about blueprints. The Bengals might not have a Super Bowl team quite yet, but they've got a team that's playing this Saturday in Tennessee against the Titans. What do you make of the blueprint that Duke Tobin and his staff have used to build this Bengals team?
Well, I think they've done a really great job. You know, when you look at the combination of draft choices, which they've hit on, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, of course, Joe Burrow, et cetera, and then the use of free agency with Hendrickson and Reef and people of that nature, you know, it's the perfect mix. Mixon, of course, was a draft choice. They've got triplets, which you need to make the Super Bowl, and Chase, Mixon, and Burrow. They've built a great defense. Man, oh, man, has that defense improved from what it used to be. And they did a terrific job in pro scouting and bringing in Awuzie and bringing back to Ohio Eli Apple, and he's playing way better than he played in his other stops. And Mike Hilton is a great addition, and of course a really good draft choice in Jesse Bates. So and Okungbo was a terrific addition too. So on the pro side and in the draft, they've done a really good job. They haven't overpaid. They haven't saddled themselves with cap expenses that they can't handle going forward. And so it's been a magnificent job. Really, really good. And I don't have a vote for Executive of the Year anymore, but if I did, Duke would be right up on the top of that ballot.
You mentioned the drafting of Ja'Marr Chase, and clearly it's worked out. As you might imagine, we spent weeks debating, do you take Ja'Marr Chase from LSU? Do you take Penei Sewell, the offensive lineman from Oregon? And it became less about a discussion between the two players and more about a philosophical discussion. Do you build the offensive line and then just find wide receivers elsewhere? Or if you have a guy who could add explosiveness, do you bring him in? He's got history with Joe Burrow. They're going to be really good in the wide receiver room and then make incremental improvements to the offensive line where you can. As that whole thing unfolded, from your perspective, what was it like? What was it like just sort of maybe putting yourself in Duke Tobin's shoes where he had a big decision to make with that fifth overall pick and ultimately got it right?
Well, I'll tell you how I learned how to do that. There was a great offensive line coach that I worked with in the USFL called Whitey Duvall. God rest his soul, he's passed away. He'd been a long time NFL offensive line coach. He went to Kansas City with Carl Peterson and Marty Schottenheimer, and it was Whitey as the personnel director that built all those great teams. And so we're sitting at the combine, and it was the year that Barry Sanders was coming out. And if I'm not mistaken, there was another great tackle. I can't think who it was at the time, an offensive tackle that was up at the top of the board. And I said, Whitey, what do you do here? You got the offensive tackle who's a cornerstone, supposedly. I don't think he ended up having a great career. It might have been Mandarich, but don't hold me to that. It's immaterial. And you got Barry Sanders, who's a once-in-a-lifetime back, although not big. And Whitey said, Billy, are you crazy? He said, Mandarich blocks one guy. Barry Sanders scores touchdowns.
Ha, 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 ha. I wish I would have had that. And by the way, yeah, that was Mandarich. Mandarich was the second overall pick that year. I wish I would have used that back in April because, and it's easy for somebody like me to say right now, but I wanted them to take Ja'Marr Chase, and they took Ja'Marr Chase.
Well, they made the right choice, obviously. You know, it's one thing if you're taking a guy at a skill position that that doesn't win games on his own talent, but Ja'Marr Chase coupled with Joe Burrow, they win games.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was the right choice.
Yeah, no question about that. The Hall of Fame executive Bill Polian is with us. Super Bowl Blueprints, co-written with Vic Carucci, is available, and I could tell you it is a really good and insightful read. You're going to hear from a lot of Hall of Famers, a lot of Hall of Fame coaches, a lot of people instrumental in building some of the great franchises, great organizations in this league over the last 50 or so years. A huge part of a Super Bowl blueprint is a coach, and we talked about Duke Tobin. Duke Tobin, for the first time, was instrumental in hiring a head coach when they chose to bring Zach Taylor to Cincinnati. As somebody who has steered those conversations, as somebody who has sat across from coaches and interviewed them and ultimately made the decision which ones to hire, are there certain boxes that every candidate has to check, no matter what their background is, no matter how much experience they have, or no matter which side of the ball they came from?
Yeah, from my perspective, I always use the following. I can't speak to what Duke's blueprint is, but mine has been always number one, what is the guy's vision for what he wants the team to be, to look like, how it's going to play, and then how is he going to implement that vision? That's number two, is how are you going to implement that vision? Tell me what drills we're going to use. Tell me what we're going to do in training camp. Tell me what we're going to do in terms of motivational issues with the team. How are we going to implement that vision? And then number three would be staff. Who's going to have on his staff? Because never in football history is it a one-man show. Even when Paul Brown was doing it, you still need quality assistance to make it go. So that's the third thing. And then the fourth thing is, you know, how are you going to prepare your team? What are the ways that you're going to give us an edge in terms of preparation? And that can be any one of a hundred ways. But he ought to be able to know that. And then finally, what's your philosophy of football? And then you get deeper into the weeds on that. You know, how many times are we going to run the ball? Where are we going to run it? How are we going to run it? What's our passing attack going to look like? What's 2-minute going to look like? That kind of thing. And then the last thing is just alignment between the GM or personnel director, as the case may be, and the coach with respect to the kinds of players they want. Not skill sets. That varies with scheme, but the kind of people that they want.
You have had a front row seat for the evolution of the league and the evolution into what goes into building a winning organization. And so here in Cincinnati, the lament for years was, well, the Bengals are maybe a little bit behind the times, perhaps slower than some to embrace free agency, slower than some to embrace, you know, even making trades, that sort of thing. And, you know, you talked about some of the additions they've made in free agency. It feels like they're being run like a 21st century NFL franchise. What has it been like from your perspective, working in the league, consulting with teams, as an analyst looking at it sort of from the outside? What has it been like to watch the championship, the Super Bowl blueprint evolve from, you know, what it was when you first entered the NFL to what it is today?
Well, interestingly enough, it hasn't changed a whole heck of a lot. The game has changed in the sense that when the Steelers and Raiders were in their heyday in the 70s, the game was basically played between the numbers. We didn't use 53 and a third yards of the field. And the running game was absolutely paramount. As the game has evolved at all levels, all the way down to high school, we now use 53 and a third yards. We pass the ball much more than we run it. 55-45 is kind of the ratio now. And because the field, we're using the whole field, skill players have gotten a little smaller. But other than that, what Paul Brown used to call the eternal verities, meaning the eternal truths of the game, are the same. You have to block well. You have to tackle well. You have to value the football. You don't turn it over. You don't commit a lot of penalties. If you you have to have a sound and reliable kicking game. And if you do that, you're going to win a lot of football games. The what it looks like is different, but I don't think Paul Brown's eternal verities have changed all that much.
The face of the Cincinnati Bengals, as you well know, is Joe Burrow, and that became the case the moment he was announced as the team's first-round draft choice with the number one overall pick in 2020. When you're making that decision and you're drafting a guy and we're handing him the keys to the franchise, you're looking for the tangibles, obviously. You're looking for arm talent. You're looking for ball placement, all the measurables that you can watch on tape. But when you sit down and sit across from the prospect and decide, all right, this is the guy who's going to be our guy, we're putting our franchise on his shoulders, what are the characteristics that you're looking for that I would imagine the Bengals saw in the guy who's currently the face of their franchise?
Well, I'm sure they did. First of all, you want a guy who loves football, who really cares about it. And, of course, Burrow's the son of a coach, so I mean, that's kind of a given. But it's really important. Football has to be, after his family and his faith, has to be number one. Number two, he has to really want to work at it hard, because playing quarterback in the NFL is a hard job, and you really do have to work. You have to go above and beyond. There was never a day, for example, during the season when Peyton Manning wasn't working on football almost 100% of the time. In the off season, different story, but football season, 100% of the time. Tuesday afternoon, which was the players' off day, noon, Peyton Manning's in the building, and he's sitting down with the backup quarterback and with the coaching assistant in the quarterback department, breaking down film, looking at blitzes, trying to pick up blitzes that, or get on film blitzes that he'd seen 3 years ago from a similar coordinator, things like that. You have to have that dedication. And if you don't, it's going to be hard to be really good. Third, you have to be a great processor. You have to process information quickly, and you got to be able to make quick decisions. And then finally, a couple other things. You got to be really tough, because quarterbacks get belted around. The public doesn't see it very often because it's behind the play. Quarterbacks get knocked down frequently. I mean, you got to be tough. You got to get up and shake that off and come back and stare that rusher down and get the ball out of there. So you have to be physically and mentally tough. And then finally, the way you conduct yourself, excuse me, has to show leadership. You got to be a leader in every respect. And that means how you live your life. So, because everybody else is going to follow. Peyton Manning on our team in Indianapolis was the hardest worker on our team. And so everybody followed suit. That was the order of the day. And I suspect Burrow's in that same category. So that's far, all of those so-called intangibles that I outlined are far more important than arm strength, far more, and far more important than the ability to extend plays or all the other stuff that gets talked about in the media. Those intangibles are the difference between a championship quarterback and an also-ran.
You talked about Peyton Manning on the list of hardest workers being number one. I would assume Rocky Boyman was number two.
He was. Rocky was a heck of a worker. He sure was. We were thrilled to have him. He was a quintessential Colt.
Yeah, and he still is. Bill Polian, the Hall of Fame executive, Super Bowl blueprints. Hall of Famers reveal the keys to football's greatest dynasties. Co-written with Vic Carucci. You're going to get a glimpse inside the minds of folks like Marv Levy, Bill Parcells, players, Charles Haley, Doug Williams, Frank Reich right now, obviously the head coach in Indianapolis, Dwight Freeney, Joe Gibbs, Tony Dungy, and so many more. This has been a real treat. I really appreciate you joining me today, Bill. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Bill Polian's in the Hall of Fame. He is a six-time NFL Executive of the Year in his book, Super Bowl Blueprints, available wherever you get your books. Tomorrow, I am not here in the afternoon. Bengals pep rally takes my spot from 3 until 6. Don't forget Tony Pike from noon to 2 tomorrow on ESPN 1530. I am in for Lance tomorrow night from 6 until 9 on 700 WLW hosting Sports Talk. And a reminder, we have college basketball tonight on ESPN 1530 with NKU taking on UIC. Thanks to Taryn Bland for producing, and thanks to you for listening. We have been presented by Bud Light, the official beer of the NFL, Larry's Security Center, the Tri-State's Locksmith Pros, and by TriHealth, the official healthcare partner of the Cincinnati Bengals. Have a great night. Thank you for listening. My name is Mo Egger, and this is ESPN 1530 Cincinnati Sports Station.